Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
First of all, you know, I want to thank God, first and foremost, you know, believing in Him and trusting Him. I got my babies in the back. If y'all hear crying in the back, it's okay. You know, I'm not ashamed. Those are my babies, and I love them, and they can do what they need to do, because they're babies, and I love them.
Josh Allen gets it. Look, babies do what babies do.
Right.
Sometimes they cry.
Right.
Sometimes they laugh. Sometimes they crap in their pants.
Right.
That has to be dealt with. That's just one of the realities of having babies around. You bring the babies to the press conference, as you should. When you sign a massive new contract, I have no problem with the sounds of babies crying, because it means babies are in the vicinity. And I, contrary to what you might believe, Christopher, I love babies.
Well, you're half a baby still. Didn't we clarify that on Monday? You're 4 and a half, right? Didn't we figure that out?
Thursday, I was told, shut up, you baby, by somebody. Somebody said, shut
up, you
baby.
Takes one to know one. I know, yeah. No, I do.
I'm among my people.
You are among
your
people.
A jury of my peers.
Right.
Hello, babies.
Hello, how are you? How you doing? I know, you turned into quite the baby lover with your cute little nephew who you adore and spoil, the ones from Cleveland, right? That are the Browns fans.
Columbus.
Sorry. I was something with a C there in Ohio. But yeah.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. Hey, it's.
I mean, any of them, really. There's a lot of C's in Ohio.
And there is a
I
lot of
I tell my
C
niece
things.
All the time, you pick, you're 2 hours from each place. You pick the wrong one, although maybe not. Maybe not. I mean, one of them got to the Super Bowl, but the other one may be, I don't know, if they can settle down the quarterback position even better.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they're not in a bad spot. I mean, damn, it's Ohio State's right there. I mean, Cleveland's down the road. Cincinnati's here. They got a little bit of everything. So can't be mad at them. And, yeah, it's a good time to be in that state right now with all three of those football teams. You're right about that. I mean, did you ever have – I know you have your one child in Alex. I mean, one that we know about. But either way, did you
– Thanks.
I know. It just felt good to say that. Did you ever have regrets, right? Did you ever have a time where you and the wife were a little bit like, man – you know, he's getting old. Do we want to have another baby? Right? Like, was there ever that? Oh, we missed that. It's gone. Did you ever have that feeling?
You know, you tell me all the time I need therapy, and now you're turning the show into a therapy session. Yes, I wish I had more kids.
You did. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I hear you. Absolutely. I mean, I'm bringing it up not to be a jerk or put you on the spot, but because I'm at the age, right, where early 40s, my kids have gotten to teenage years where, you know, a lot of my friends are younger parents, right? Their kids are younger. And, you know, my family's got young kids, so we see them. And, like, we went through a period where my wife, around 41, 42, was like, oh, don't you miss a baby? I can't believe we don't have any more babies and all that. you know, and you think about it and you're sad, but yet you know all the troubles that go in on a day-to-day basis where you go, I don't want to deal with that. But, yeah, we went through that a little bit in our household.
Oh, it's funny because a lot of the stuff you deal with during childbirth, not that we have to deal with the really serious and painful stuff, but after when the baby's in the house and the baby is doing the baby things. I was at my niece's house after my nephew, my great nephew's birthday party on Saturday, and you get a whiff of some of the smells that you had completely forgotten about. Like, once the baby is no longer wearing diapers, it's like the clouds part and you step into a new existence that you had completely forgotten about.
Yeah.
Where you're not constantly dealing with this background or foreground noise of, do we need to change him? Do we need to change him?
Right.
Do we need to change him? Who's going to change him? What are we going to do with this foul, disgusting thing? And then they have the thing called the diaper genie. And I'm not trying to, you know, blow our chance at a diaper genie sponsorship. But the whole idea is you put the diaper in. I think there's a pedal you press and the diaper's gone. Well, it's not like the diaper is shot into the atmosphere. The thing that holds the diapers becomes the source of the worst cocktail of smells you can imagine.
Oh.
And that thing in and of itself has its own funk that you can never get away from. And I got a whiff of a diaper genie for the first time in 25 years on Saturday. And that brought back a lot of memories. Once you get past that, because I told my niece that, you know, because he's getting close to the point where he probably should, you know, he's two.
Right.
So there's going to be a point here soon where he recognizes, you know, that weird looking chair in the bathroom where I take a bath. There's a reason for that. And maybe I should sit on it. Once that happens, it's like, oh my God. And then you're going to end up having another kid. That's what I told him. I mean, it's like, you know, you're going to, once you migrate past all the things that drive you crazy about having a baby,
yeah,
then
it's like you forget about it. You go, let's have another one. I don't remember those. I always thought we were going to have three kids. We had two because of what you're kind of saying. We had the second one. We're like, oh wow, two on two is tough here. You know, I like it better when we had the two-on-one mom and dad fast break on the kid. Now it's an even game. And then what if it sways the other way even more? So, we have two. We're very grateful, but it is one of those things where you get on with life and you go, you know, I miss young kids. My kids are growing up. They're both a bunch of freaking punks who are on TikTok and smart asses now. All right. I say that jokingly and fun, but I also don't because that's what they are. They're at that age. I'd like to smack them every now and then.
Don't assume. Because I know that you're feeling like you're closing in on empty nest.
Right.
Don't assume nest is going to stay empty for long.
Right.
That is a very common phenomenon in this day and age.
No question.
You know, you aspire to give your kids a better life than you had, which I know is hard for you to do because of the whole laissez-faire thing. But most of us aspire to give our kids a better life than what we had. And then they realize, this is a pretty good life. I kind of like this life. And one of my friends told me not that long ago that his daughter, who I think has finished college, decided that she wants to be a stay-at-home daughter, which, you know, is a pretty good life if you can pull it off. So the nest may not stay empty.
Yes.
Once the nest gets empty.
I hear that.
You know,
yes.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Because you don't have to change their diapers. There's a whole host of other issues, but you don't have to change their diapers.
No, it might go for full circle, right? And they stay in the house long enough, then maybe they'll be changing my diapers when I get old enough, and we'll see where it goes, right? I don't know. But full circle, congratulations to Josh Allen and his family and his kids. It is awesome. What a special day. Right. I know we're going to talk about the contract at some point. We'll unpack that a little bit. I think there's some interesting things there for you and I to talk about. But, like, love the human being, Josh Allen. He's the guy that you root for, right? Not only do you go, wow, he's a good player, but been around him a few times and just, you know, like Trent Baalke talked about, he's a guy you want a part of your franchise. He's that kind of guy, and I understand that because of his attitude that I've seen and from what I hear from people, and that's the type of people you like to see rewarded.
He's with a team in a market where it's difficult to stand out. And I'm not trying to anger Jaguars fans here today, but the reality is if you're in a larger market with a more successful team, perennially more successful team, that is on national television more than the Jaguars, they are not a big national draw. Again, I'm sorry, Jaguars fans, but you know that. You know that. They're not the Cowboys, right? You take a guy with his talents and put him on a team that plays more often in standalone games, this guy's a borderline, if not complete superstar in the NFL. He's kind of toiling in relative anonymity in Jacksonville. I mean, his biggest drawing card is he's got the same name as one of the NFL's superstars.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
Right.
And no, he had 17 and a half sacks last year. Franchise record for a single season. He's the second all-time sacks leader for the Jacksonville Jaguars franchise. He has checked every box. He has done everything that the team could have asked him to do. And they dragged their feet longer than they should have in giving him his second contract. Fortunately for them and for him, they did it before the July 15 deadline. So he's on board for the offseason program, which is exactly what they need. We talked about that yesterday. How many of these teams have gotten their guys signed who were subject to the franchise or transition tag early enough that they don't miss anything, that they're part of the preparation for the next season, and Josh Allen still in his prime and still in position to wreak havoc and help the Jaguars turn around what was a very disappointing season last year. So good for them, good for him. And, yeah, we'll break down the contract a little bit more later in the program because, as we expected yesterday, and as usually is the case, it's not what it initially seemed to be, but it's still pretty damn good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, pretty damn good. And I think there's some things to talk about that are different, right, within the NFL and the structure of these contracts that I think is kind of interesting to kind of unpack that I want to, you know, when we get there, I'm going to ask you your opinion on a few things and why you think, you know, either side would do this or if it's good or bad for the team or the player or whatever. But, yeah, we'll have a good talk when that comes up.
All right. Anything else going on? Since, you know, this is so freaking stupid. I mean, and I guess I should be happy about it.
What?
Because I feel like I have two Fridays every week. It is so dumb because it's your last day of the week. So it's Friday for you. And vicariously, I let myself think it's Friday for me, even though it's Thursday. And it really is stupid, but I kind of like it.
I would think so.
Because you suspend disbelief a little bit, and
right.
I kind of feel like today is Friday. And, you know, what it has caused is now that we've got, like, one Friday it's Shireen, one Friday it's Miles since Peter King is retired, the Friday for me, not that it's not loose and fun Monday through Thursday, but it's got another degree of who gives a crap on Friday. We're just talking about football for 2 hours, and it's like we're not even talking about it on camera or into a microphone. And there's not that there's any stress Monday through Thursday, except when you call me a big baby and I drop F-bombs and we're fighting for about 30 seconds. But like on Friday, it's like, I don't know. I act like it is Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
I act like it is Saturday.
Yeah.
And I don't care. Not that I mean, I care, but I don't care, if that makes any sense. Not that we're like, as you can tell if you watch or listen to the show, it's not like we're all tight and nervous and making sure we say everything that we're supposed to say. And we hope that that's part of the appeal of the program, or maybe for some, it's part of the reason why you don't like the program. But if you don't like it and you're watching anyway, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. I don't care. The ratings don't matter. The views don't matter. The subscribers don't matter. If you watch because you don't like us, that puts you in the same category as the people who watch because they do like us. All we care is that you'll watch. So anyway, happy Friday to you.
Oh, thank you
happy
very much.
Happy kind of Friday to me.
Thank you.
Sorry,
jump
everybody
on the
else.
Bandwagon.
It's still Thursday for the rest of the world, but I'll treat it like it's kind of Friday for me.
All right, good. I'm glad I could help you out in that psychology and, you know, end your week a little quicker, right? You know, I don't know if you're going to attack the night tonight like it's Friday night. I'm not sure about that, right?
It's a soft Friday for you,
but it's okay. It's good.
No.
At least it's
good. I had a rough night last night.
Oh, yeah?
I had a rough night last
okay.
night.
Okay, well, damn, you're holding the good stuff here? What do you mean, rough night? Damn, I'm perking up.
No.
What? What's going on?
No, I'm trying to be more responsible, or just responsible generally with my cigar smoking.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to limit to three a week.
Right.
Yeah, because like, and I'm like this conscientious cigar smoker. Like, you know, the warnings are on the box, and yeah, you don't inhale it, but I don't want to get cancer from it. But I went decades without smoking anything, so it's kind of like I got that stored up, and I'm constantly in this. How many should I have? I like going down to the bar and I write down there, and I'll smoke one it's a 4-inch cigar. It's not like that big giant, and I've got a humidor full of all shapes and sizes and sorts of cigars. So I'm trying to hold to 3 a week. Well, last night I made the mistake of selecting a larger than usual cigar.
Mm.
And you know, the next morning you kind of
you
like
taste
the,
it still,
the smaller
you feel
cigar
it. Yeah.
Is smooth, expensive. It doesn't have that feeling the next day, as my college roommate once said back when we would go out and have a few drinks and then find a cigar and smoke it. And he woke up the next morning and he said, I feel like King Edward took a crap on my tongue. Like, that's the feeling I have today. And I don't like that. With the smaller cigars, you don't have that. So today I'm just kind of like, ugh. So I'm probably going to take a few days off. And when it's time to do it again, I'll stick with the smaller one.
Okay. All right.
But the other thing, I've got like they're very expensive Padron cigars, and they're 4 inches long, and I keep them in one specific area of the humidor, and that's pretty much all I smoke. Everything else is just kind of there. Like if there's, you know, people over, I steer them toward all the other ones that I don't smoke. So my kids' friends come over and they go down to the barn, and I look at the stash of my expensive cigars, and it's like,
yeah, get them, Alex.
Go?
Get them.
Where are they? Well, we smoke those because we know they're the freshest, because those are the ones you buy. Well, yeah,
they're also the ones I like. Yeah.
And then like when I'm cleaning up and I'll look at the ashtray and I'll see like the cigar that started off this big,
right,
and there's that much gone and the rest of it's left. It's like,
what a waste. Well,
you took two puffs and you put it out.
Right.
Right. What the hell?
That's such a 24-year-old kid move right there, right? Oh, I'm a man. Let me have a cigar. They can't even do it. They can't.
And they turn green.
Yeah,
and
right,
like, that's
right.
So
tell
so
Alex
what
I said his friends are soft for that, all right? Tell him I said that.
So what I did yesterday, I found some cheap cigars that look like the ones that are the expensive cigars that are going to be the – and I may have to add a little sign in the humidor, smoke these, please. So that's going to be,
I think,
the
with
goal
that age, you put don't touch, and then they will definitely
and
touch
then they
those,
do.
Right?
Yeah. Special cigars go. Do,
right,
not,
do
touch.
Not touch. They can't help it.
I want them to have a good time when they're down there, and I don't care, but it's like, you know, kind of like, let me know when you've rated the good cigars, because they're like, there's two left.
Yeah.
I got to get more.
Right.
All right. Okay. On to football business. So I can afford to buy the expensive cigars in the future, although I kind of wish I wasn't able to afford it, because then that would be a way to stop smoking them. I hate having all this angst. Like, do you smoke too many cigars? I like it, though. It relaxes me. It actually helps my Crohn's disease. It really does. Like, when I have those occasions that I feel like there's an ice pick right where your thing takes a right turn, the colon takes a right turn, 5 minutes in, it's cured. It's
great,
cured.
Great.
It's gone.
Yeah.
So it's therapeutic. That's what I tell my doctor.
If you feel like smoking them on the show, don't mind me. I'm all cool with it. You could do Winston Churchill here while we talk football and just be like the whole day.
You know, AJ Hawk does that on McAfee's show, and I want to enjoy it. I wouldn't enjoy it in this setting. Although maybe I would. Although I'm in the house. Like, I can't do it in the house. I'm not allowed to do it in the house. That's good too. It's good to have rules like that. Otherwise, I probably would end up smoking one every day if I could just light one up wherever I wanted to. So anyway, maybe one of these days. Maybe like after something really good happens, after the Vikings win the Super Bowl.
Oh, well, crap.
Maybe I'll
we'll
do
all
that.
Be dead.
I will do that.
We'll all be dead.
I will do that. Well, we all will be dead. And generations beyond us will be dead. It'll be after the next eclipse that hits West Virginia in 2099. I'll make that commitment now. I will have a cigar on the show. What would it be? The Tuesday after? The Wednesday after? At some point after the Vikings win the Super Bowl, I'll have a cigar on the show, which means, as my wife would say, you'll never have a cigar on the show. Okay. Team that's been smoking cigars and celebrating otherwise after the past couple of Super Bowls has an issue that took a turn toward the negative, even more negative, on Wednesday, and that's the news that Rashee Rice, and we had been wondering, okay, what is going to happen? We had some facts that had to be resolved last week. Was he driving one of the two cars racing on the highway in Dallas that caused a six-car pileup and injured people? Would he admit that he was driving? Would we have to Zapruder film the dash cam video that we've shown multiple times? Well, we found out, courtesy of his lawyer, that he was driving. So now we wait to see what the charges were going to be. And Chris, the charges were filed on Wednesday, and here's that video that shows the speeding, shows the crash, shows the aftermath, shows Rashee Rice climbing over the console and getting out of the right front passenger doors you spotted when we looked at it last week. Eight total charges for Rashee Rice. All of them are felonies. Eight charges, all felonies. Six counts of collision involving bodily injury, one count of collision involving serious bodily injury, one count of aggravated assault. I'll be curious to see how the prosecutors turn what happened into aggravated assault, but that's at least the charge they're making. And prosecutors tend to not make charges that they don't believe they can prove beyond a reasonable doubt. And one big thing to note here, omission so far, charges for leaving the scene of an injury accident while you were the driver of the car. That's another felony. If there's injuries, if there's just property damage, it's not
a
felony.
But that hasn't been.
There's injuries.
That hasn't.
That's not on the docket yet. And it doesn't mean they're prohibited from doing it. They can add those charges whenever they want. It's not double jeopardy or anything like that. Jeopardy doesn't attach until the jury is sworn in. They can add those charges. This is just the starter, I think. Eight felony charges. I'd be surprised if there aren't more, because he clearly left the scene.
Yeah, sure.
It's undeniable that he left the scene.
Right. Are you surprised that it's all felonies? Did you know that? Did you think this was going to happen? I knew there was leaving the scene was a felony in the state of Texas and Dallas, like we had talked about when it first happened. But you know, were you surprised to see all of these counts be felonies like this?
Well, no, because based upon the Texas statutes I found, the street racing,
all of it
causing
is
the injury.
Right.
When you throw in the injury, that's when it becomes a felony.
Gotcha.
And the key is if it's just regular bodily injury, it's a class C or third degree felony. I can't remember which specific terms they use in Texas, but it's a third level felony. It's the lowest level felony, 1 to 5 years. Serious bodily injury kicks it to the second class, 2 to 10 years. Oof. And the word serious bodily injury is important because if there was one person who suffered a serious injury, that takes the leaving the scene to a higher level well.
Right.
1 to 5
right.
to 2 to 10. So if there's a serious injury, and you know, part of the fight is going to be what does serious injury mean? If you're representing Rashee Rice, you want to try to argue that it was a bodily injury, but it wasn't serious. And it's a tough needle to thread because you don't want to come off as crass or uncaring.
Right.
But you're talking about 1 to 5 versus 2 to 10. That's one of the things you probe if you're a defense lawyer. How can I prove this wasn't a serious bodily injury? Gets back to what we were saying the other day, though. It's the same behavior. The outcome drives the punishment.
Yeah, I know.
You do the dumb, reckless, stupid, irresponsible thing.
Right.
And you're basically playing Russian roulette with someone else's life.
Sure.
And the worse the outcome, the worse your punishment. The behavior is still the thing that you're trying to deter, but that's the reality. There's one serious bodily injury in the assessment of the prosecutors, so he's looking at 2 to 10 for that, 1 to 5 for the others. And I don't know how it would work, concurrent versus consecutive. And it may just be they're loading up the cannon with as much as they can and hope something will stick, and hope there'll be a significant punishment. But again, you know, people think, oh, well, the rich and famous get a pass. A lot of times
it's the opposite.
They want to make
an example.
Stewart you.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Because it'll be covered and it'll send the message loud and clear. That's one of the purposes of the criminal justice system, to deter others from doing the same thing. So you don't have to chase a bunch of people around to get them to stop doing this. If you hammer somebody, street racing is a big problem in Texas.
Yeah.
They passed a law about it last year to try to get rid of it.
Right.
If you can make an example of Rashee Rice, you maybe get some of these other people who are inclined to race on the streets to not do it and save lives in the process. And Rashee Rice is the guy who's going to end up being the person who gets made the example of.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, The threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Well, all right. So, Mike, I want to keep peppering you with questions here because you're definitely more of the expert. I mean, first off, I didn't know what I was expecting. You know me. I'm just paying attention to football and all that. I don't think about this all the time, right? But when I saw this come out yesterday, I did go like, damn, okay, wait. I knew it was serious, but I guess it took me into another level of like, oh, gosh, like. Maybe where I thought, okay, the can might get kicked down the road. It might take a while to figure some of this out. And then, like you said the other day, he might get suspended in the 2025 season, right? I don't know. Yesterday made me think a little bit differently, that it was a little bit more urgent, a little bit more, you know, at play here and serious than maybe I thought the charges were going to be. And now I'm looking at it going like, damn, I am, you know, on a football matter, right? I'm always worried about the innocent bystanders who got hurt. I'm not trying to be insensitive to that, but we're a football show. Like, I am a little bit like, damn, is Rashee Rice going to get suspended for like significant amount of time this year? Like the Chiefs, they finally found a guy towards the end of the year. It was Rashee Rice that they felt like, ooh, wait, we can build around him and that. And now here we are, and it's like, ooh, the future's uncertain. So, I mean, am I crazy to think that right now?
No.
All right.
Well, you're not. And I think, you know, a lot of times you need to have the official charges so it crystallizes and you're dealing with something real and you're not speculating on it could be this and here's what might happen. It could be that and here's what might happen. Now we know what he's facing and we can do the flow chart of how it goes from here. And I've asked the league a couple of times about Rashee Rice and their standard response is we're monitoring developments, and they don't like to do anything definitive under the personal conduct policy by way of a suspension until the criminal process has resolved itself. The Chiefs had no comment, by the way, on the Rashee Rice news from yesterday, even though, as we'll talk about more in a minute, a fairly important piece of Chiefs property was in the car that he left behind. As it relates to the personal conduct policy, when you start putting felonies out there, because usually we think of paid leave under the personal conduct policy is something that happens if there is domestic violence involved,
right?
Because that's kind of what gave birth to this notion of paid leave, where you have a guy who hasn't been convicted of anything, innocent until proven guilty, all constitutional rights still on the table, but the NFL is going to say you don't play, you're still going to get paid,
yeah.
And the NFL believes that's not punishment. And I still reject that completely and totally. They have to know that, not that they care. Not that I care that they don't care. I think it's wrong to put a guy on paid leave when he's yet to be convicted of a crime and say it's not punishment. It's clearly punishment because guys want to play football and they want that routine. They want to be around their teammates. They want to go out and contribute. They're still getting paid, but they're not just doing it for the money.
Right.
They're doing it because they love it and they want to play football and they want to be part of a winning organization. Paid leave is now, I think, in play here. Now, the NFL won't do it until we get closer to the season because there's no reason to do it now and create another news item because it is a PR tool. It's not a legal tool. It's a PR tool that the NFL uses to manage these delicate situations.
Right.
I think what's going to happen, here's my prediction based upon what we now know. I don't think he'll be at offseason workouts. It'll be an agreement between the Chiefs and Rashee Rice.
Right,
they won't
stay
be there.
Away, right.
Remember when Tyreek Hill was under investigation? His son turns up with a broken arm, and it happens right around the draft. And that was when they drafted Mecole Hardman in round two, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
Because they're thinking, we don't know where Tyreek Hill's going to be. He voluntarily stayed away from the balance of the offseason program until that was all resolved, and it was resolved with no one being charged. I remember the prosecutor saying, I have a child here who somebody injured, and I can't prove who did it, and that's not justice to me. And that's still out there. People act like he got exonerated. No, just they weren't able to prove that anyone did it beyond a reasonable doubt, so they didn't try. With Rashee Rice, I could see the Chiefs and Rice agreeing he'll be gone. And then as we get closer to the season, if these criminal charges aren't resolved, then we know how, if you're paying attention to, you know, national news where there is one specific person who is facing four different criminal trials, it can move slowly. He could be put on paid leave all year long. And then the question becomes, if the Chiefs put him on paid leave, you know, some of these teams, when a guy gets put on paid leave, they just cut him because they don't want to pay him to not play. He's only got $1 million salary this year and it's fully guaranteed. They could probably void the guarantee and cut him if they want to. And again, it's only $1 million, but it's not Tyreek Hill. It's a guy who came on late last year and they may decide, we don't care. We don't want this guy on our team anymore. That's a possibility. So as we're thinking of the flow chart, I think step one, he won't be at offseason workouts by agreement between him and the team. Step two, he'll be put on paid leave at some point. Step three, will the Chiefs just cut him or will they pay him to not play possibly all year long while this legal process plays out? And I think paid leave is even more likely because I'm watching NBC Nightly News last night with Lester Holt and it's on there. The developments in the Rashee Rice case are making national news, not sports news. They're making national news when they happen. That makes it more likely, the NFL says, we got to get the heat out of the hot kitchen here and put this guy on paid leave.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's definitely become a bigger story, you know, rather than just guys like you and me. All right, so, I mean, the Chiefs, that I was going to ask you something that I bounced off of that. I forgot where I was going to go with it. I totally lost my train of thought there when you went into the Lester Holt thing, and I forgot and what the hell I was going to say.
You didn't expect the Lester Holt drop on a Friday morning for you?
Damn, wow.
Thursday for everybody else?
It'll pop into my head either way. But, yeah, I would be concerned. I would be concerned with Rashee Rice. Oh, here's what I wanted to ask you. Here it is. With the NFL, right, and the video being out there, right, and it being everywhere, can that, you think, expedite their process and maybe, you know, maybe suspending him or doing something here to going, hey, we don't really care about, you know, the legal process or whatever. We have the evidence. It was illegal. We see you driving 110 on the shoulder and crashing into people, right? Can that just alone kind of, you know, give them strength in this issue here instead of waiting for the law and the court and all that to figure it all out?
That's a great point. Now, in the aftermath of the Ray Rice case, the NFL made this decision that we're not going to do anything until charges are resolved and we have paid leave. That's now the thing that we use as the National Football League to extricate from the football field, from the broadcasts. So NBC, CBS, Fox, ESPN, Amazon, nobody has to say, oh, there's Rashee Rice, by the way. He's, you know, you have to do the responsible thing and point out he's facing these charges. They don't want that pointed out to an audience of 20, 25, 30 million. I think back to pre-Ray Rice.
Yeah.
When Mike Vick, now it's, you know, it's a very different set of facts, but he got indicted for violating federal law. He was facing felony charges of dogfighting, gambling relating to dogfighting, etc. He was just gone. He was indefinitely suspended by the NFL without pay. Gone. That could happen as well. I mean, look, the reality is the NFL can do whatever it wants to do. The NFL likes to have that flexibility to make decisions case by case. It doesn't want to have its hands tied by policy and precedent, and you're not allowed to do this, you have to do this. They want to do whatever they want to do. And they may decide the right thing to do here is indefinitely suspend Rashee Rice without pay, pending resolution of these charges. It would go against procedures post-2014, but it could happen. It could happen. And it could be that this is regarded as heinous enough when you look at that video. And that video is shocking. we're starting to be a little desensitized to it, in part because it's like we were trying to figure out who's driving. When you look at the front end of that video, it really is. It really, I mean, you see the cars coming out of nowhere, and just it's like the other cars aren't even there. It's like it's like they're playing a video game.
Yeah. No.
People got injured.
Yeah.
In this crash. When Mark Donovan, the Chiefs president, was talking about this a week and a half ago, he said, well, fortunately, no one got injured. It's like, dude, can you not read? Of course the people got injured. What are you saying they didn't get injured? I know they're trying to win that election. They're probably concerned this is going to cause some people to vote no, because that was all they cared about at the time. People got injured. It's not nobody got injured. People got injured. Thank God nobody got killed is what you should be saying.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. That's it. It's, thank God nobody was killed. Somebody was injured, and it's one of those things where, you know, I wonder what the NFL's thought process is with this and all of that, because like it's like you talked about before. You know, I know this is not apples to apples, but again, like the NFL usually is thinking about horror stories. That's probably why they're, hey, player safety, all of that, the kickoff rules, right? You've said many times, their biggest fear is one of these kickoffs, somebody runs down, breaks their neck, whatever, dies on the field, something like that, and they go, oh, no, right? Well, I mean, gosh, out of the world of bad things that could happen, right? That's right up there. I mean, hey, you know, receiver who was really good for our most popular team killed somebody, you know, a few months after they won the Super Bowl because he was drag racing down. Like, that's one where I could see the NFL maybe trying to be a little proactive here and trying to discourage, kind of like you talked about with, like, hey, laws and punishing stars to make an example, a little the same thing. Like, just a warning notice to all those guys out there, like, hey, spring and summer's coming. I know you're going to have a break. I know there's going to be times when you're in your fast, you know, V12 Ferrari with 600 horsepower. Don't punch it and go 120 on the shoulder, right? And I just wonder if the NFL has a, you know, an urge to make an example here to kind of shut all that down, or at least get it in players' minds right now.
You know, yeah, I said last week they should show that video at every off-season workout meeting as a kickoff and as a warning. They should show it on the way out the door. That's that. And this was, you know, the personal conduct policy has worked. I mentioned this possibly on Friday. There's been chatter that the personal conduct policy is a failure. No, just because there's a couple of recent incidents. You know, you had Cam Sutton, who was accused of domestic battery and just disappeared for several days. Is at the Lions facility, and they saw him there, and they're like, you're wanted in Florida, and then he left, and he still didn't turn himself in. That was a bad look. This Rashee Rice thing was a bad look on numerous fronts. But for the most part, the personal conduct policy has worked. And I remember when the off-season programs would end, and you would have that 4, 5, 6 weeks where the players are left to their own devices. And that's the time on the calendar when coaches and general managers can relax. They're sleeping with one eye open.
Oh, definitely.
Wondering when that call's going to come.
Yeah.
And I remember there was one summer, we were at the beach that year, and it's like every night there was another incident involving a different player on a different team. Every night it was something else as guys were on their own. So you need to hammer this into their heads. The teams need to do it individually, and the league needs to be telling the teams to do this. You just don't assume they'll think of it on their own. Every team needs to show that video to their players at a minimum as they're leaving. Do it now and do it when they're leaving the offseason program. You don't want them to do the same thing. And Chris, you're making a good point. And this comes back to, you know, you do something like this and they're going to make an example of you. And it may be that the NFL needs to hammer Rashee Rice now. Do it now to send the loudest possible message. We're not going to tolerate this. If the union wants to fight us, so be it. We'll take up this fight. If they want to say you can't do this, fine. Let them be the ones on the side of protecting somebody who's driving so recklessly.
Right.
And think about what really happened here. A person named Theodore Knox was driving the other car in
the
this.
The Corvette.
There's a player on the SMU roster by the name of Theodore Knox. We haven't 100% confirmed it's the same guy, but Rashee Rice went to SMU. He was just there not that long ago. Apparently, there were other SMU players in the car with him. But he's got two cars at a minimum. He's got this Lamborghini he's leasing. He's got this Corvette registered to him. Let's go out and let's play Need for Speed on the highways. Let's go race. Is that what happened? It sure seems like it. It sure seems like they were out there racing these two cars deliberately and intentionally, and it went sideways, literally, for everyone who happened to be unfortunate enough to be in the vicinity of those two cars as they tried to work through a cluster of traffic that they weren't going to work through without causing a crash. All the more reason to take action now if you're the NFL. I kind of agree with you on this. I don't want to be too hard on the kid because he does have rights.
Yeah.
But we've seen the commissioner trample on rights left and right. If they got a message they want to send, they're going to send that message. And to send this message as loudly and effectively as they need to, it might be they have to indefinitely suspend him now without pay, pending the resolution of the case, and then impose final discipline after the case is over.
We'll see. By all due accounts, I'm with you. I don't want to be too hard on Rashee Rice too. I know he does have rights, and I don't think he's a mean person. I think he just did a dumb young thing, right? I've definitely sped at that age faster than I should have as well. But, I do think this is a pretty serious situation. It's the thing the NFL has to be in front of to, warn players where this is in players. Players are renegades. NFL players, a lot of them have mastered, what I always say, the F it. Oh, F it, I'm going to punch it. F it, I'm going to hit it and go around this guy, right? F it, I'm going to, stick my head in there against Derrick Henry and see how it works out, right? That's how a player's wired. And sometimes it takes these type of things and those type of warnings to get it in the player's head a little bit. And that's where I think it could do. And then you talked about, we've seen – I feel like Ezekiel Elliott, was probably trampled on rights and whatever else, and that whole process there, where I felt like that was more egregious maybe than this would even be right here. I know it's not apples to apples all the way through there, but you talk about the league, their power in doing things like you said, they've done more egregious things before.
And that speaks to one of the flaws in the NFL's process. I was asked about this yesterday at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, because now that Cam Sutton was cut by the Lions, there are some folks in Pittsburgh that are thinking, hey, once he resolves whatever has gone on,
him,
if charges
right.
are dropped,
right.
let's bring him back. He's a good player. And that's the flaw. You need to have a,
Definitely
in a
is.
Typical domestic violence case, you need to have a motivated victim. In the Ezekiel Elliott case, there was a motivated victim who was interviewed 6-7 different times by the NFL and gladly cooperated. They've got no subpoena power. If the alleged victim in the Cam Sutton case drops charges and isn't going to cooperate, there isn't a damn thing the NFL can do about it, even though this guy was on the lam literally for multiple weeks before he turned himself in.
On the lam?
They can do about it. Yeah, I think that's the word, on the lam.
That's a new one to me.
The lam? Lamb. Not L-A-M-B. He didn't ride a lamb. Ride a young
sheep. I was like, damn, what, is that something from back in the old days? People used to drive a lamb out of there? So what do you mean? What the hell does that mean? Explain that one to me.
he was wanted and he disappeared.
Yeah,
he was on the lamb.
I mean, I figured the lamb. Okay, the lamb is for the loose.
L-A-M. We need to look up where on the lamb came from.
Okay, we do.
And now I'm curious.
Yeah, get on the case.
Word origins on the lamb, but I guarantee you it is not something that started because some guy in the Old West decided he was going to jump on a young sheep and hightail it out.
I'm out of here. So, I got a lamb. I'm dodging. I'm getting out of here. I'm getting away from Wyatt Earp on the lamb.
We've already got some reports coming in here. It's like reading a ticker tape and types this in. Type faster. On the lamb is trying to avoid being caught by police. Okay, we know that much. We want to know where it comes from.
Right.
On the lamb officially means trying to avoid being caught by the police, which Cam Sutton was. But again, I'm not trying to make light of it. The point is, in his case, if there's no motivated victim, the NFL's process internally short circuits. In this case, they got the video. We saw what he did. He's admitted to it through his lawyer. He's charged with it. The NFL doesn't need anything to drop the hammer of justice on Rashee Rice. So, it is a different situation because they see it. It's a big deal. It's talked about on national news. I assume it's on the other networks, too. I only watch NBC, not because I'm contractually obligated to. I just choose to be a good teammate. NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. There's another Lester Holt drop. That is where I see it every time there's development. There's Rashee Rice. There's Lester Holt talking about it. That's a big deal for the NFL. So they need to do something. I think silence isn't acceptable at this point, right? And again, I don't want to advocate hammering the kid, but this is the price you pay when you do stupid shit. Stuff like this is what happens. And that's part of the message that needs to be sent to other guys who might be inclined to get behind the wheel of a really fast car and say, F it, as you said, and hit the pedal and say, it's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen to me. It happened to him. It's not going to happen to me.
Yeah.
That mindset is what causes bad things to happen.
That's
people
right.
think bad things aren't going to happen. So they go out and they do something. It's like, oh, the bad thing happened.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah. No, I, you know, again, I'm with you. I don't want the kid's life and career to be ruined or anything like that. I'm definitely not. I'm a fan of Rashee Rice. I was a fan of him coming out in the draft. I really liked him. Right. So there's like, I don't want that. But, you know, within the greater good to be made an example of for like, hey, maybe to save more lives in the summer or save a guy in the NFL's life for not driving like that or whatever. You know, if there has to be something done to set that example, then I'm all for that to save people down the road. And that's where I think we're a little bit in that conversation. And yeah, we'll see where it goes. But it definitely went up another level of intensity yesterday, at least in my mind, where I was kind of like, ah, you know, this will get figured out eventually. I don't know, Rashee Rice, he'll be on the Chiefs next year. It'll be no problem. To like yesterday, like, oh, damn, like this is serious and Rashee Rice is in trouble and he's definitely going to get suspended. And how long will he get suspended for is the question now. And I think that's where it kind of triggered in my brain, Mike.
Yeah, look, I think this is a far bigger deal than the NFL has acknowledged yet, because all they've said is, we are monitoring, we are monitoring, we are monitoring. At some point, you've done enough monitoring. At some point, it's time to do some acting, to do some decision-making, and maybe do some suspending of Rashee Rice. And I say all that acknowledging he has rights. He'll have legal representation. He'll have to navigate criminal and civil and NFL and PR. It's a horrible PR move. And yet we know the NFL cares about that. Fundamentally, the entire personal conduct policy is a PR device that the NFL developed because, you know, Chris, and let's not get it twisted up. In 99% or more of American workplaces, the things you do away from work are not something that you should ever be disciplined for at work. As long as you can show up for your job every day and do your job, anything you do on your own time is your own concern. And there's no rule or regulation that should affect you for the things you do on your own time. As long as you can show up. If you're incarcerated, that might be a problem. But if you can show up for work, you show up for work. The NFL has taken the things you do off the clock and they've made it part of what you are on the clock. You're a representative of the NFL anywhere and everywhere that you go. The things you do on your own time, if you cross the line, you're in trouble with us. And the union allows that. That's been negotiated. So this is a rare occurrence where the things you do on your own time become the basis for potential job action at work. And we take that as a given because in the NFL it is, but it is a rarity that the employer has any grounds to do anything to you. But if you're going to have that power, this is a prime situation where it needs to be exercised.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I don't, right? You know, I'm all for, you know, player rights and you know, we're usually pro player and all that, but I'm also pro common sense and pro we like the NFL and the league to be at its best and people to be safe. And you know, I think when you add all that up there, I mean I'm thinking a lot of the same things you are, Mike.
I think one of the realities here is we've been wired to be extra careful in this one from the get-go because when we saw and heard about it initially, we weren't sure he was driving.
Right.
And
right.
So we're kind of like, well, all right, we don't know that he was driving. Let's tread lightly. Let's be careful. And then we find out he's driving, and we're still, I think, in that let's be careful. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. What do we give him the benefit of the doubt on? He was driving. His lawyer said he was driving. He was one of the guys behind the wheel. He's responsible for the crash. He's responsible for leaving the scene. He's responsible. And there's responsibility that's going to manifest itself in various ways, including scrutiny from people like us and ultimately some sort of action by the league. And I'm with you. You've kind of talked me to this point where, and I don't want to be iron-fisted on this, but I think the league needs to do something sooner than later if the league wants to send the strongest possible message to the rest of the players who are out driving around on weekends while they're in their off-season programs or once the program is over and they've got that 4 to 6 weeks of time to themselves. You want them to understand Learn from someone else's mistake. Don't be the next one that we're using to get others to not make this same mistake again. All right, let's take a break. We've got plenty more PFT Live for you on this Thursday, and we'll be back with some Caleb Williams developments right after this.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.